It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture. Where America shops for furniture.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
What are the stories you will remember from this year? At 880 In-Depth, we did a ton of them. Important ones, powerful stories. But the one that dominated our year, no surprise here, was the pandemic and the human impact. As we closed this year, we wanted to update two of the stories that stayed with us. The story of two people who were especially challenged by COVID this year.
I want to get my story out there and let other long haulers know that there is hope.
Especially given the Omicron surge we're now living through, the story of those suffering long haul effects after getting COVID is an important one to follow. We also wanted to update the touching story of a New Jersey widow we met, a young woman raising her two children after losing her husband to COVID back in early 2020.
We're still living this pandemic, so it's like a daily reminder of what happened to our family and, you know, hearing about other people's losses. It's like a daily reminder of, you know, how short life is and, like, knowing other people's pain.
This week on 880 In-Depth, lessons from COVID survivors. You think you're tired of COVID? Katie Barber got sick in the spring of 2020, and she's still feeling it today.
No, mine was very severe. I was completely healthy, and it's very real.
Welcome to 880 In-Depth. I'm Tim Scheld. Katie Barber is a classic long hauler, someone who's suffering ill effects long after dealing with the virus itself. By some estimates, nearly a quarter of all of those who get COVID will suffer some ill effect in the weeks or months after. A JAMA study says 45% of those who suffered a serious bout of COVID requiring hospitalization will likely have some long-term health concern.
Hi, good to see you.
How you doing?
How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Much better.
That was Katie Barber this past March when we met her at Mount Sinai in their post-COVID clinic.
COVID really took my body and did a number on it, and it's a very hard virus to deal with.
So tell me what you're up to in terms of your activity level, your physical abilities now.
Yeah, so my physical abilities are much better. I can cook. I can clean.
9 months later, we reached out to Katie to see how she's doing today. She spoke with our Peter Haskell.
We spoke to you in March, and things had just started to turn for you. You were just starting to feel better. Give us a sense how you're doing now.
Yeah, so even from March, you know, I've definitely come a long way. I was actually in a wheelchair for the previous 6 months in March. So around March, April, I was just able to walk enough to get out of my wheelchair. So that was really exciting. I actually was able to go back to work in April after I started to be able to walk. So, you know, going back to work was pretty rough. You know, it took about 6 months of adjusting. But, you know, I'm always making progress. So, you know, I've come such a long way, and even getting out of the wheelchair and going to work was just such an achievement. So even though it was an adjustment, it was, of course, going in the right direction.
Do you still have symptoms now, and what kind of problems do you have?
I do. I have dysautonomia now, and specifically I have POTS, which is common in long haulers. So I suffer daily from the symptoms from that. To be specific, fatigue, that's been a symptom of mine, you know, since early on in my illness. I'm nauseous daily, so eating is a chore, and an unwanted chore, to put it nicely. I have no appetite at all. So that's rough. I'm always battling, you know, heart rate, blood pressure. You know, I'm always, you know, doing my physical therapy and doing things to continue to help make these symptoms get better. But yeah, I mean, I still definitely struggle daily. I've come a really long way, like I said, but things are definitely not the way they used to be before this whole thing.
What kind of therapy do you do, and how often do you do it?
So I'm not on any programs currently, but I continue to do the things that have been prescribed to me from, you know, when I started at Mount Sinai, including I do breath work daily. I do exercises and, like, yoga and physical therapy type exercises. You know, that help strengthen, you know, your nerves and everything like that. I do my high salt, high fluid diet daily. So, you know, I'm constantly doing things and doing the interventions that I was taught that help, and they really do help, which is why I continue to do them.
One of the things you had talked about when we spoke before was hope, or lack thereof. What's your sense of hope now about a full recovery?
You know, I continue to be hopeful because when I look back at things, I realize how far I've come. You know, at the worst of this, I was in a wheelchair for 6 months and I needed 3 people to shower me. And just recently, I was able to walk on my own a mile. So, you know, going from wheelchair to being able to walk a mile, you know, in the last year or so, and looking at it like that, you know, and not looking at it like the symptoms that I suffer from every day, but looking at it like, wow, that's incredible. You know, I want to keep going and keep making improvements, because I was, you know, running half marathons before I got sick. So it's really quite the dramatic story, from half marathons to wheelchair to, you know, now being able to walk a mile. But that's what gives me hope, and I hope, you know, people hearing my story, that's what gives them hope too, you know, other long haulers.
The fact that, as you say, you've been a runner, you can walk a mile now, what does that do for you emotionally, knowing that, hey, I can walk a mile now?
Yeah, it does so much. You know, when I was in the wheelchair, I remember saying, you know, I can walk for 10 seconds, you know, and you know, it's crazy that when people hear that from me, you know, like, oh, I can walk a mile. But just getting out there and just doing it is, you know, really important to me. And that's really something that I value. So just getting out there and doing it, you know, makes me so happy.
I'm curious, when this whole thing started, when you first had COVID, did you ever imagine you'd be dealing with this more than a year and a half later?
No, I really didn't. I had no idea. I mean, I can't even believe what it turned into. You know, I was the last, I guess it's almost been 2 years, you know, a year and a half, 2 years now, and it has been life-changing. But, you know, I will say that, you know, everything happens for a reason, and both my husband and I will tell you that this entire journey, you know, really made us better people and really taught us what we're grateful for in our lives and just taught us so much about each other and life and, you know, everything, you know, and it was really a life-changing experience.
What should people know about post-COVID syndrome?
It's very real and it's out there. And, you know, I want people to know that, you know, one in 10, COVID cases can be long haulers. And right now we're seeing a huge spike and it's so concerning. And I just want people to, you know, be cautious and stay safe and, you know, follow the recommendations because, you know, I just know so many people suffer from long COVID, whether it's mild or, you know, mine was very severe, but, you know, it's possible. I was completely healthy, and it's very real. So just be careful.
When you hear people talk about they don't need a mask, they don't need a vaccine, they don't need a booster, they don't need social distancing, what do you think?
Yeah, it's frustrating. I continue to tell my story, and that's what I can do. You know, I can tell people what happened to me, and you know, they can take it for what it is. But you know, I don't tell people what to do, but I do tell people what, you know, about what happened to me, and it's really shocking to a lot of people, and I think my story puts things into perspective for a lot of people, and definitely.
Katie, thank you so much. Is there anything else that you want to add?
Oh, no. No, thank you so much. You know, that was great. I really, I appreciate, you know, the time that you took to do this with me, and I want to get my story out there and let other long haulers know that there is hope, and it takes a long time, but hard work and consistency will definitely get you there.
It's a much different battle for Pamela Addison. We met her this summer, still struggling to get her young family back on track after losing her husband Martin to COVID early in 2020.
When my husband died, I thought I was the only young widow out there because you were only hearing about older people dying. So I felt very lonely. And then a week after my husband died, I got a letter in the mail from another COVID young widow, and she told me I wasn't alone. And we connected. Fast forward like 6 months later, I wrote a piece for NewJersey.com because I was really frustrated about how a lot of people were saying you didn't need to fear COVID. And I just wanted to put out why you should fear COVID because it's affected my family in such a dramatic way. And I posted it to several COVID support groups. And when I saw the response of all these young widows saying that that was their story and they thought they were all alone, I decided that I would make a support group for us so no one would feel alone because I knew how horrible that felt. And so I created it.
But as you will hear, personal recovery needs a personal focus. And that's the journey Pamela Addison is on today. Peter Haskell reconnected with her to hear how she's doing.
I mean, I feel like life is still extremely challenging. It's hard being a solo parent. And last year, I worked from home, which made like childcare and getting my kids to and from daycare a little bit easier. So I've been really adjusting to being back at work full time in person and dealing with like figuring out scheduling and getting my kids to and from and getting home later. And then there's just so much else, you know, you need to do on a daily basis. So that's been a challenge.
Has getting back to work made things feel more normal, or just the challenges are too great?
I mean, it's some normalcy, I guess, being back with, like, you know, interaction with my students, my colleagues, but it's not in a normal circumstance. So it kind of, like, shows you how we're not in normal time. So it's like a daily reminder of how different life is and how different my teaching is because of the pandemic we're in.
Being at home, dealing with kids, shuttling them around, I guess what's the most difficult thing? Is it just the time stretch, or is it the emotional dealings that you have to face day to day?
I think it's a mixture of both. So, like, I leave my house at 6:30 in the morning and I don't get back until like 5. You know, like, there's a lot of like time. Like, I just feel like all my time is like, you know, either working, being a mom, and then it's like very little downtime. So it's like I'm always on the go. There's not like a lot of time for me. And then it's just, you know, we're still living this pandemic. So it's like a daily reminder of what happened to our family, and, you know, hearing about other people's losses. It's like a daily reminder of, you know, how short life is, and like knowing other people's pain. And then within my, seeing my daughter struggle with like why Papa's not home, why he's never coming home, you know, she has her moments. So that's like another emotional like toll on me and our family.
Just in terms of the fact that you have so little time for yourself, how do you cope with that?
I mean, I guess I'm just, you know, doing what I need to do right now and hoping, like, as, you know, I move forward, life gets a little bit easier, you know? But right now, it's just, you know, I'm just living it. And I feel like a lot of people are just trying to survive. I think it's like right now I'm still on like survival mode. So I have this adrenaline that keeps me going. And I mean, I have things that I do to like decompress, you know, read, writing, stuff like that, like getting involved in advocacy work. Like those are things that like help me decompress in some ways. So I feel like I have those things.
You brought up your daughter. Give us a sense how your kids are doing.
I mean, overall, I think they're doing pretty well. I mean, my little guy was only 5 months when Martin died. But, you know, I see that now that he's a little bit more verbal, like, he really does look for the man. And so he knows that's missing in his life. You know, when he's with his uncle, he's all about being with his uncle. When he is with, when he sees the man across the street doing things, he's all about watching that man and being happy. And, you know, recently I actually started a new relationship, and he idolizes the person I'm seeing because he's the man. My daughter, you know, she understands what happened a little bit more, and every, you know, day, you know, she'll bring him up in some way. She'll tell me she misses him. Why did he leave? What happened to him? She's asking a lot more questions now because I think she's at that developmental stage where she really is trying to figure it out and, like, has a lot of questions. So then it's, you know, me as a parent trying to figure out what to say without scaring her, which is sometimes hard because, like, I want to be truthful with her because I don't want to, like, say anything that's not true. But then when I do say those things, then she starts worrying about me, and she's fully aware. She's like a 3-year-old who's fully aware that a bad thing can happen to someone you love, so she really does worry about me. So when I have to go to work, she worries if she sees me leave for work. if I have to go to the doctor because I tell her I'm going to the doctor, she's worried I'm not going to come back. Those type of things. So she has a lot more on her plate, and she's a lot more emotional about things because she's scared.
I don't want to pry too much, but you bring up the fact that you have a new relationship. How difficult or easy was that for you to take that step?
It was challenging because as like much as I want to move forward, there were like hesitations, like I know something bad could happen again and I could go through all this pain again. And I think that was the most challenging part of like opening my heart to someone else and being vulnerable again, because knowing that the worst has happened. But you know, he's so super supportive, and he wants to incorporate Martin in our lives, which is so nice. So that also was just something that made me, you know, want to like pursue, you know, being with him, because he totally was accepting of what happened to me and the kids. So, but it was challenging. It really took me some time. It took me a while to feel ready to even date. And then when I was dating and, you know, learning more about him, it was hard for me to like take that next step, just because of all like, I guess, fear, nerve, and all that.
How has that helped your emotional state?
I mean, I still have my moments where I miss Martin, and I think of like what would have been with, you know, had this pandemic not happened with Martin, you know, like all the things that we dreamed about doing. I still have those moments where I like miss that we're not going to be able to do it. And especially like seeing the kids, which is awesome. They're so close to Joe, but it's just, it's like Martin's missing out on all that. And that kind of sometimes gets me a little emotional. But I think it's also been really great because I've like found that joy I never thought I was going to have again. And having someone who's there like to support me when I am having a rough time, that's been great.
One of the things that you did to try to help others was start a Facebook support group. How involved are you in that now, and what does that do for you, if anything?
So I have stepped away a little bit just because as I'm moving forward, it's tough for me to read things where people are just right raw in the emotion of losing somebody. But I'm still involved, but just not as deeply as I was before. Just like I said, it's hard to read so many people's sad stories and just be inundated with it when you're trying to like focus on your kids and their mental health, my mental health. There's a lot going on with work and me adjusting to being back full time. So it's just like, my therapist is like, you need to focus on you and your kids. Those are your number ones. So that's why I've taken like a step back, but at least it's there and people can go and find our group and find people who understand where they've been through and make connections. So I feel that at least I had made that for them.
You know, I'm curious, the fact that you've chosen to step back because of what you described, does it give you a sense of how much progress you made and how far you've come?
It definitely does. And just knowing that, you know, I'm not alone and there's women who are, you know, in my, like, I guess, there's no stages of grief, but in a similar place. And it's nice to know that I have them to, like, talk to. But I made those connections early on when I felt so alone. So now the fact that this group happened, I made really great friendships and connections with some incredible ladies. It kind of, you know, makes it easier to step a little bit back. But also it does, yes, I do feel I've made progress. I've come a long way. I'm not the same person I was when I first lost my husband. I'm not the same person when I started the group. I'm definitely different.
Our hopes and prayers for a better 2022 for Katie Barber and Pamela Addison and all of those touched by COVID-19 in such a personal way. We may be tired of it, but we're not done with it yet. And hopefully these stories of resilience will serve to help our focus. By the way, for those interested, Caitlin Barber got her post-COVID treatment at a special clinic at Mount Sinai here in Manhattan. And we highly recommend for COVID long haul information, the Facebook group Survivor Corps. And Pamela Addison, she still has that Facebook group going, Young Widows and Widowers of COVID-19. We look forward to a new year and new hope for better health. That's our wish to all of you. 880 In-Depth is a production of WCBS News Radio 880. Peter Haskell and myself, Tim Scheld, are the executive producers. Subscribe to the podcast version of the show and listen on your time. Just search 880 In-Depth wherever you get your audio. Thank you for listening. Happy New Year. And please, be safe.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Whether you're on the go or at the ballpark, T-Mobile is built to keep you connected wherever the game takes you. With America's best network, you know your phone is going to work, even in a crowded stadium, for instance. If you lose track of your friends, after a long seventh-inning stretch, one quick message and a shared location later, you'll find each other without missing the next pitch. And you can upload the video of the game-winning hit and share it before you even leave your seat. And on the days you can't make it to the ballpark, streaming the game on the go feels just as electric. No buffering, no interruptions, just every moment as it happens. Find out how baseball hits different with T-Mobile at T-Mobile.com/MLB. Fastest based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data of national speed score results for the second half of 2025. Best based on analysis by Ookla of the speed test intelligence data for the second half of 2025.
Introducing the all-new MLB Plus, your ticket to streaming baseball's best. Let's go! Enjoy MLB Network 24/7 with live out-of-market games and award-winning shows. Enhanced game nights with MLB Big Inning, live and commercial-free. And hear live home and away radio broadcasts of every game, blackout-free. Even stream minor league games all season. It's all here and it's all new. Get MLB Plus for just $59.99 a year. Visit MLB.com/MLB Plus.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.